We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
CHGO White Sox podcast coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at HectorWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm your host. Already said that. You can follow us at CHGO_White Sox. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. How are the Penguins?
Penguins were good. Yeah, I met penguins yesterday for people that are wondering why we're talking about penguins.
Sarah ditched us and left us with the Wisconsinite Kevin Wells, and he forced us to get
in
the canoe.
Wisconsinite?
I mean, you went to Marquette, it's close enough.
Pretty much.
Shout out the Shedd Aquarium. It's a great place.
Yeah, and you know, Sarah learned a very fun fact about penguins yesterday.
Yeah, so did you guys know that penguins every 5 to 10 minutes poop?
So do the
that's
White Sox.
Their lives, yeah.
yeah,
just they're always pooping. I don't know. And they eat a ton. They can eat up to 50 to 60 fish a day per penguin.
That's too many.
We should get a live penguin in here.
That's way too many.
You know,
they smell.
We just added the neon lights. Hey, maybe what if we get a live penguin?
They smell and they don't fly. They're useless birds.
Our colors are black and white, so I think it would fit in. We have Vinny Duber that will join us later on in the show from Sloan Park in Mesa, Arizona. After the White Sox lose 8-1 in the first spring training game. It is spring training. It obviously isn't a big deal. But hey, Herb.
Yeah.
If you take out the first inning, it's only a 2-1 game. And that's close baseball. That's what the White Sox way this year. As long as it's close, as long as Jesse Chavez isn't giving up 6 runs in the first inning, which likely won't happen. He probably won't be pitching in the first
batting inning. Practice out there. Jesse Chavez is out there throwing. I mean, he's 40 years old. It's the first day of spring training, so he's just trying to get work in. I don't think he or the White Sox necessarily care about his results. Now, us who are watching, we care about the results because that inning was forever, and somebody named, I don't know. I got 5 RBIs today. I forgot his name, but already because he was so anonymous. But
Hudson.
Yes, Joe Hudson. He sounds like just a guy they pick up three. Hey, you want to play baseball? Yeah, go ahead. Put your cleats on. What? And Jeffrey Chavez is going to be throwing you fastballs right down the middle.
Let's play a game. How old is Joe Hudson?
I would say Joe Hudson is 28.
32.
Yeah.
I mean, that man truly off the street right there. He has a catcher's mitt, and I think that was the reason why he made the Cubs roster.
Hey, man, he showed out today. 5 RBI for Joe Hudson. Good job, sir. Now go back and work your bartending shift tonight, brother.
Yeah, good for him. And, hey, even good for our guys over at CHGO Cubs. I know Cody was excited. He went down to Sloan Park. He was there for the first spring training game. His guy, Christopher Morel, hit a homer, and he was like, talk me out of Christopher Morel hitting 50 homers. So immediately I have to respond, he hit it off Jesse Chavez at a 3-0 count, like in the first spring training game.
Yeah.
Like, there's an easy way to talk you out of it. He stinks.
They only play the White Sox 4 times. And I know every time you see him, he hits a home run with the White Sox, but it's only 4 games. So all the rest of the teams will figure out Christopher Morel can't really hit a slider. Outside the zone.
On today's show, we will be talking about the players that made impressions on us. We will be talking to Vinny Duber, who is out in Arizona, on updates from spring training. I know there's some injury updates that we touched on briefly upon yesterday, but I know he talked to the man himself about the injury today. So I think we got a little bit more insight into John Brebbia's injury. But where we need to start is John Schriffen. John Schriffen makes his debut as the White Sox play-by-play voice in his first spring training with Steve Stone. Herb, what'd you think of the new voice of the Chicago White Sox?
It's going to come off overcritical, but I think, you know, eventually he'll get into his groove. I've watched him do college basketball. He's excitable, and that game lends itself to exciting play-by-play calls. Baseball does not. So John will have to do a lot of research before games to get that little stuff that you have to get between pitches where the game is out of hand. There'll be a lot of these games where the White Sox are either winning, a couple of those, or more likely losing by a lot, where you got to fill out that time where the silence between you and Steve is just there. You can let the game breathe every once in a while, which I think he let it do a little too much today. But it's his first game with Steve. He's dipping his toe into the water right now. I think he'll get more comfortable, but today's broadcast and probably the first inning didn't lend itself to an exciting broadcast. It didn't lend itself to John Schriffen getting his best A-game performance out. But as I said, it's first game. He'll be better, hopefully. I can hear that he's better when he's doing basketball. And if he brings that, and if the White Sox bring that type of excitement to the baseball field, his calls will be fine.
Yeah, we got 48 people watching. Make sure that you hit the thumbs up button. One of those people is Barb, who thinks this is the Cubs show.
Still not the Cubs show,
the Cubs
Barb.
Are actually doing a post-game show at, I believe 6:30. It's 6:30. Yeah. Yeah, I missed that today. I saw that.
So
yeah.
Tyler and Barb, the Cubs, the B team, is going to be on at 6:30. Yes. A team has to go at A.
Yeah, we go at the real time.
And also, you know, that Cubs team really doesn't want to put in the work. You know, they don't want to drive in, get into the studio. No. You know, they're going to kick up their feet, and yeah, they're going to be remote.
We were here on the ground watching this game live. We're not the Cubs. Just show up whenever they want to and turn on the camera.
I think they're everywhere. I mean, I think Brent, Corey's in the city, but I mean, Brendan's not even in the state. I think Luke's a suburb guy. I mean, we're here in Chicago, you know? I mean, as we know, Chicago or the White Sox are Chicago's real team, and the Cubs are the suburbs team.
That's why my hat says CHGO. You don't have to thumbs down us, Barbara.
Who cares?
What the heck?
Let's go to
thumbs up for all of us.
Let's go more to John Schriffen. You're right, and I think the thing that obviously we have to remember, too, is this is his first baseball game. Like, there isn't a background of baseball. Like, obviously himself, he's played baseball, but there is not a broadcasting background of baseball. He's never worked for a minor league team. He might have done a game or so, but I don't think there's an extensive 5 to 10 games even in his experience. So this is going to be a long time where he's not only trying to figure out his broadcast partner and Steve Stone and all the guys that are on field, all 70 of them that are in White Sox camp, he's also trying to figure out how to call this actual sport.
Yeah, he did Dartmouth games. He went out for the team, got hurt, and then that's where he switched his focus from trying to be a major league player to being a play-by-play person. So he's done Dartmouth baseball in the past, but, you know, it's Ivy League baseball a long time ago, and, of course, the KBO history. But like you said, it's nothing like MLB, a daily grind, and the same partner that you have in Steve Stone. I think Steve Stone is a product of the person who he's next to. I thought the years that he was with Harry Carey, when Harry was still with it, perfect. Steve Stone shined. Then when he got over here to Guaranteed Rate and with the White Sox, Hawk Harrelson didn't bring out the best in Steve Stone. So you could see the broadcast kind of stalling. Hawk would be kind of mulling in his own corner and being stewing if the White Sox were losing and not really setting up Steve to do his job correctly. That's why I love the pairing of Jason Benetti and Steve Stone. They seemed like they got each other. Their acerbic wit kind of matched each other, and they would have a nice show. Even though the product on the field wasn't good, it was an entertaining game. That's where John Schriffen needs to go to. He doesn't need to be Jason Benetti, but find his in with Steve. Find where they have common ground. Find where Steve's wit is, because if you first meet Steve Stone and don't know how he rolls, he's kind of off-putting, as if, you know, he'll joke about you. He'll bust balls and shit like that. So that's what John Triffin has to get there and find the comfortability with the guy. I think they have a game tomorrow, too. I don't know if it's back at Candleback Ranch, but maybe then everything will be more focused, because the whole broadcast was kind of off. The lower third didn't go down on every player and see who it was, because this is a spring training game. You need to know and you need to inform your audience who the people are playing. And luckily, we had a split screen with NBC Sports Chicago and Marquee, which Marquee had, because they were a home team, had the lower third and showing us who the pitcher was for the White Sox or the batter was for the White Sox, and give us that information. So this whole process will take time. White Sox fans are already mad about the team being bad. And if the broadcast is being bad too, that's not going to be a good recipe for Jerry Reinsdorf having ratings like he wants, because I know he wants to have a total White Sox and Bulls station eventually.
I think I went to high school and college with the last guy that just commented, Jim Barista.
Jim Barista?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he was older than me, so, you know, I don't think he recognizes me. But I recognize that name, and he looks like the guy that I know in his photo. Hey, small world. You're right.
Brother Ricers. What are they?
Crusaders.
Go Saders.
Hey, did you see who Eno Saris told you to watch out for? He said six batters to watch out for. One of them was?
Mark Payton.
No.
Mike Massey, yes. Yeah,
come on, let's go. We don't need to bring up Rita, guys. What's wrong with you? We're not going to bring up any Maris guys, because those guys don't make it to the majors. February 24th is the next game, you're right, with NBC Sports Chicago against the Mariners. That one's going to be at Camelback Ranch. Maybe that was also throwing them off. First 2024 spring training game, not having Chris Kamka as well. I mean, I know that's obviously going to be another part, too. Like, yes. I mean, there was some of the great producers that were on that NBC Sports Chicago broadcast. Kamka's been there for, what, 15-plus? Years. I mean, I think since the
pretty much it was an intern started, with the score, right? And then went right over there and was a genius. Still is a genius. That's a great get by Marquee, and I can't believe NBC Sports Chicago lost him.
So it did seem like NBC Sports Chicago was kind of dealing with a lot of turnovers, a lot of hiccups. It's game one. It's worth it. It's allowed. But my biggest worry is what I think. Can you scroll up just a little bit there? Jacob Ramey said, not there. He said like four comments. There it is. Shriffin seemed very stiff and corporate. That was my biggest thing, is that he's coming from ABC 7 News. He does have the basketball background, and you're right that he's been able to get up at some points for that. He's doing slam ball, which is kind of the opposite of corporate.
Oh my God.
So there are some moments that he has shown, hey, maybe stepping outside of his comfort zone a little bit. But even when they're asking him, like, you know, these icebreaker questions, like, yep, first athlete you got a signature from, and it's Pete Sampras, like, all right, hey, that's a little bit interesting. But it's not like we heard that, like, an interesting Pete Sampras story.
That's exactly what I was saying. Like, that is to introduce us to you. And Stoney's just reading off the answers, and Shriffin's just, yeah.
Yeah. Answer dogs.
Yeah.
Well, I have a dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Let's move it on.
Elaborate, brother. This game doesn't mean anything. At that time, it was like in the fifth inning, and the game was already over. Yeah. Give us something about you. I know that the broadcaster doesn't necessarily like to be the story, but today you're the story. People are tuning in for the White Sox, firstly, and you, too, because you are the new voice of the White Sox, like it or not. And so you have to introduce yourself. We don't know who you are. And this game was in a great introduction because of the White Sox action, but I just want somebody to get in his ear and say, hey man, just talk a little bit more. Be you. Be less corporate, as our guy said. Be less boxed in. Be your basketball personality. That one works.
It does work. I did just get a message. I think that we have the ability to say this. We're going to take a break in just a second, because, again, we had 9 innings of Shriffin. I guess not a full 18 frames. It was only 17 frames. Not a lot there, but I think even people said that Jason and Steve, once they started, there was obviously Jason feeling out Steve and figuring out how to really flow with it.
Yeah.
Maybe after 20 games or 30 games or 40 games, he'll settle in and start to show a little bit more personality, because right now it's just, it's not there, but I don't think we should have expected it to be in their first go around. Anything else you want to give on Shriffin?
No, I think he'll be fine. Eventually, the White Sox, I don't know if they'll fall in love with him, because it's always the new guy who's following a legend. And make no mistake, Jason Benetti is a legend and will go down as one of the best. And then being the guy who comes after that guy is going to be really tough.
He got the job done today. We'll see how, you know, he actually does with regular season, too. Because, hey, if we can, you know, brush off, you know, maybe Andrew Vaughn having a bad at-bat. Hey, maybe John Triffin has a bad game as he's, you know, dusting off the cobwebs.
Are you thinking, I mean, we'll get into it. Are you thinking about the same at-bat I'm thinking about? 2-0. Andrew Vaughn.
Is that the first at bat or the second?
The second one.
No, because the first at bat, he laced one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Do you want to tell people about the second?
I'll tell them after the break.
Well, I think Sarah actually downloaded something, so why don't we go to what Sarah downloaded first? Our guy Spencer is letting us know that we do have takeovers for the 2024 season to announce. He wants us to talk about it this weekend. Lynx will be live by the end of tonight, but we want to let you be aware of what's going on. So if you are a diehard, you will get 20% off to this event. We'll have three takeovers in the 2024 season on May 27th at 1:10 versus the Toronto Blue Jays at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Blue Jays again. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Right? Watch out, Danny Mendick. Hopefully, Danny Mendick doesn't play in that game.
And Vinny's got to bring some sunscreen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We'll see if Vinny even joins us on that day. Because when it was Cubs Day, there was no way Vinny was going to come to the upper deck and try to make it through all 40,000 people. June 24th, 7:10, we got the Sox versus the Dodgers. So if you ever heard of a guy named Shohei Ohtani, now's your chance to go see him. And then on August 9th at 7:10, we'll have fireworks for the Cubs and White Sox game. So head over to allchgo.com later on tonight to check out those takeover tickets and make sure that if you haven't yet, you can become a diehard and get 20% off to those events. All right, Herb, why don't you take us into our first ad break, and then we'll hear from our guy, Vinny Duber.
Well, our guy, Jim Cook, who was one of our sales guys, told us that Leinenkugel would be our beer for the year for CHGO White Sox. Damn near fell out of my chair because if you know me, you know I've been rocking with Leinenkugel for a minute now. Nothing says summer to me than having a cold summer shandy in your hand while watching the ball game at Guaranteed Rate Field or just chilling out, having a cookout with your people. I know you're saying, Herb, summer shandy is mostly a summer beer, so what can I be drinking year-round? I'm glad that you asked that because you have Leinenkugel's original lager, light lager, Lakeside Cherry, the drink I'm drinking right now, the Sunset Wheat, Barry Weiss, Northwoods Amber, Dark Lager. And the other day I had a Honey Weiss, which is made from Wisconsin honey, so you know it's good. And if you tried any of their beers, you know that Leinenkugel brings the flavor for whatever occasion that you're celebrating. For over 150 years, Leinenkugel's has been combining German brewing traditions with Wisconsin innovation. You don't have to pick just one. Leinenkugel's Leinenkugel's popular variety packs come with four varieties to help you try and enjoy. Flavor life's simple moments with Leinenkugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to leine.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's leine.com/CHGO or pick up Leinenkugel's pretty much anywhere where they sell beer. Leinenkugel's, flavor the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Leinenkugel Company, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
And do you know how to get to places that sell beer?
Yes, with a car.
With a car. Are you in the new market for a new? Are you in the market for a new vehicle? If you are, then we have some great news for you. Our partner Ray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Fox Lake is celebrating the President's Day sales event all month long. And do you know what that means? You'll be able to shop presidential savings on their wide selection of inventory for a limited time. Get 20% off MSRP on all remaining 2023 Jeep Gladiator models with dealer discount. They're number one for new vehicle quality among midsize trucks, says J.D. Power. And that's not all. Shop their last call on select Dodge Challenger and Charger models. Dodge is the most powerful muscle car brand, so you don't want to miss out on their last call with over 20 Dodge muscle cars to choose from. At Ray CDJR, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories and drive home with more money in your pocket than you'd expect thanks to the Ray Price Promise. And don't miss out. Shop great deals all month long and save big because Ray CDJR makes buying a new vehicle more affordable than ever. And what's more affordable than the word free? You'll get a free oil change at Ray CDJR when you mention CHGO at the service center or mention CHGO when you book online at RayCDJR/service. But you have to schedule before February 29th. So if you are in the new... If you are in the market for a new vehicle, then you have to check out the team at Ray Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram because they are the only team we recommend. Visit them today on Route 12 in Fox Lake. For more information, visit Ray CDJR in Fox Lake or RayCDJR.com, serving the community since 1963. Let's head out to Mesa, Arizona, Sloan Park, today's home of the first spring training game in 2024. He wasn't able to hear John Striffen because he was at the ballpark. So, Vinny, what'd you make of the sights and sounds at a packed Sloan Park today?
Yeah, they pack them in over here on the east side. I think it's funny. I think I tweeted about it. You know, we think of the Cubs and the White Sox playing in the Crosstown Classic. But guys, when you're out here, you got to recalibrate your geography. The North Siders are the East Siders. The South Siders are the West Siders. And this is the Cross Valley Classic. And I know that because I sat in a whole ton of traffic to get over here today to drive across the valley.
Will it be tough to go back then? Like, what's traffic like then heading from Mesa back to Glendale? Or will it have, you know, subsided by now?
Hopefully it will die down a bit by the time I get out of, by the time our show is done and I get out of here. One hazard that I am curious about. So I'm in one of the booths that, you know, one of the broadcast booths right now, to get some quiet from the noise of the stadium and everybody else working. But there are no lights in these booths. I don't know. I guess
above your head, behind your head, but I don't know how to turn it on.
I don't see any. I guess that is that a light? Oh, maybe it is a light.
Fluorescent lights. Yeah,
they have to be timed. Maybe it's
a light, but there's no switch. I can't find a light switch in here. So hopefully I don't go dark on you guys.
It's pretty sunny.
From our seats, it looks like that's a beautiful ballpark. How was the atmosphere today for the first game of preseason?
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I mean, listen, I think, you know, we think of atmosphere at a sporting event as very much depending on the action of the game, right? Oh, all the fans were into it, or all the fans went nuts when a good thing happened kind of thing. Spring training games don't count. You know, so I think, you know, so many people come down from, in this case, Chicago, but, you know, from other cold weather places to sit in the Arizona sunshine and maybe have a beverage or two and enjoy a day at the park. And so I think, certainly, it checked all of those boxes for the folks in attendance, considering this is the Cubs home park and it's mostly Cubs fans, almost entirely Cub fans in attendance, considering what the score was, I'm sure they all had a very nice time.
And hey, since you mentioned the people coming down from Chicago, CHGO spring training hotel accommodations are provided by our friends over at Gila River Resort and Casino, Vekiva. Vinny's not there right now, but he'll be very excited to go back to his very warm bed at the Gila River Resort and Casino. It's the place for Chicago baseball fans to stay when visiting the Phoenix area. So if you are planning to head west to watch Cactus League games or traveling to the desert throughout the year, call 1-800-946-4452 or visit playatgila.com. Before we get into the game portion of today, you ended up talking to John Brebbia. We had some internet issues where we tried to play John Brebbia for the people, but what did John Brebbia try to tell you, and what did John Brebbia let you know about his current injury with his scooter?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we just basically got details on what the hell happened, and it seems like he was throwing, well, it doesn't seem like, he told us, he was throwing a live batting practice session, and one of the pitches that he threw was hit for a ground ball, and so being the pitcher with reaction that he has, he took a few steps off the mound as if he were going to cover first base. And then when he realized there were no fielders there, obviously, he started to walk back to the mound and he heard a pop when he was walking back to the mound. And he continued pitching. He finished the batting practice session, but he has a calf strain and he's walking around in a boot and a, you know, wheeling around on a scooter, and it makes it look pretty bad. But he can pitch with this. At least he has felt no effects on his leg or on his throwing in any sort of way. It's when maybe he needs to get off and start running like he would to field a bunt or, you know, go to cover first base, in which that becomes a problem for him. So he was planning on just, you know, being like, oh, I'll wait to see what it looks like overnight and I'll just do some light running tomorrow. And the training staff was like, no. You need to not do some stuff for a couple of weeks and make sure that everything's good. So he didn't have a timeline. He said that they told him a few weeks. This was an estimate of what he thought he remembered. He would be back to like full go. So he doesn't exactly know how long he will be out of Cactus League games, you know, considering that all he needs to do is not do anything but pitch, and he thinks he'll be fine. But also, considering this happened so recently, the routine that he's in, when we talked to him today, he hadn't yet thrown off a mound again since completing that batting practice session the other day. So we'll see how long it takes. And I think that the silver lining maybe is that this is the most intense injury news that we're talking about right now. We're not talking about a position player dealing with anything big, or we're not talking about a starting pitcher dealing with something that's going to keep them out for months like we have in springs past, right? So we'll see what ends up happening with John Brebbia, and we'll keep tabs on that. But that's really the only injury thing we're dealing with, other than some of the surgeries that have happened to some of the longer shots to make the roster, we'll put it that way.
I like to hear that. I like to hear what Vinny just said, that it seems like Brebbio is like, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm good to pitch, and the trainer's held him back from himself. That's what you need to do with these, some of these people. They are going to be wanting to play. And so you know that this team is not really a thing. And, yeah, he might be the closer of this year, but there's no rush to get back on the mound too tough, too quickly. And I hope they've learned from some of the things they've flubbed up last year. And it seems like they've been a little bit better with their injury management. I mean, we see Aloy play most of the year last year, even though he wasn't healthy last year. But well, posting is a skill, and it's necessary.
I mean, I think Chris Getz mentioned the Aloy thing. Like, wasn't last year just the appendectomy that really held him out, right?
Yeah, that caused him to miss significant time. I mean, if you'll remember, he went on the injured list after the home opener. Didn't he? He pulled his hamstring in the home opener, and it wasn't bad. It was just an injured list trip. That happens to guys all the time. You know, when you're comparing it to the injuries that Aloy had had in the seasons prior, it was very minimal, right? But it did seem to us, and I believe we heard it referenced a few times, that his legs were not, you know, where they should have been throughout last year. And we saw him, and maybe that did stem from, you know, having part of your organs, you know, having an organ taken out of your body. I can't imagine that's a comfortable feeling, but it didn't seem like his legs were really where they should have been throughout the season. Maybe that's just me or us, you know, the observing public, you know, saying what we thought we saw, but certainly it seemed like his, from a leg standpoint, he was not operating at 100%.
And you're right, yeah. Ended up hitting the IL on the 5th and then came back on the 14th. So there was that early season leg injury that he ended up facing. All right, let's get into today's game. I was shocked when Vinny Duber quote tweeted me. I mean, I'm surprised that you don't have me on mute with with what I tweet. But we saw Pete Crow Armstrong go so fast into home that John Triffitt didn't even notice it. He thought it was the guy on third base scoring. So there's a ball hit down the line. Brian Ramos makes a play, is able to snag it, tries to make the throw. Andrew Vaughn stretches with all the length that he has, isn't able to make the out, but it's a good effort by Ramos. But it's even better effort by Pete Crow Armstrong going second to home on a ground ball, on an infield ground ball. I tweeted that, you know, hey, Pete Crow Armstrong plays fast, just like Pedro Grifol wants this White Sox team to do. Do you feel like they played fast today, this White Sox team, or did they get outfasted?
Well, they certainly got outfasted. I don't think they really had much of an opportunity to play fast, considering they only got four hits. They walked, what, one time, I think. Like, they weren't on base at all. And so I'm not going to, you know, crush the White Sox for not doing what they should have done. They didn't have the opportunities to do them. Now, that's their fault in another way. But still, I guess the point that I was making, and that, you know, you were making a joke, making fun of the acronym, but I think it was very – but I think it was a very good point, accidentally perhaps, but I think it was a very good point that that guy specifically, Pete Crow Armstrong, every time he came up to bat, he showed that, man, he was intense, and he was, with his blue hair, that he was doing it. In fact, I went down to one of the Cubs writers and was like, what's the deal with this guy? Because first at bat, he hits a hustle double. He basically just hits a base hit into right field, and he sprints to second base. He gets in there safely. The next at bat, he pops up, and he slams his bat down because he's so mad that he popped up in an exhibition game. And then the third one you mentioned, he gets hit with a pitch, didn't seem too happy about it, ends up at second base, and then, like you said, scores on the ground ball to third. So he did the kind of thing in those plays. And really, if you notice, the Cubs were doing it all day long. You had a lot of guys going first to third. I think there was, you know, a guy who easily makes it to second on a ball that gets away from the catcher. Like, that's the kind of thing, and base running specific, obviously, but that's the kind of thing Pedro Grifol wants to see from these White Sox. He wants to see them be an aggressive team out there. He uses fearless as the F in fast. But, you know, I think all of that really applies to a lot of the things you saw from the Cubs today. Now, I will compliment the White Sox. The defense was clean, right? They didn't really make any defensive mistakes. There was the one wild pitch. But other than that, you know, the defense was really good. We didn't see any problems on the infield. And you even, as you said there, Sean, complimented Brian Ramos for that play that he wasn't able to make. It was deep in the hole. Nobody's saying he should have made it, but, you know, a valiant effort there. And he made a couple of other good defensive plays at third base too. So the defense probably was what Pedro wanted to see, but the base running from the Cubs was the like the thing that sticks in your mind is the definition of the style of baseball probably that Pedro wants to see. Certainly it's the definition of the style of baseball that the Diamondbacks played last year, that the Cleveland Guardians played the year before that when they won the AL Central. It is that kind of thing that the White Sox are trying to do. But Sean, as you've been mentioning all offseason long, and you're absolutely right, you got to get to first base in order to steal second. And the White Sox didn't do that today. And so you maybe see the challenges to playing that style of baseball, even if Pedro gets all the buy-in in the world, even if he's got, Chris Getz giving him the kind of players that he can count on to play that way, they got to make it to first base. They got to get on base to cause havoc on the base paths. They're doing a good job with what they can control on the defensive side. The offensive side obviously is going to be under a microscope all summer long. And today you saw maybe the biggest hurdle to that they have to clear in order to play fast.
Yeah, and another player that I think does play fast, even though he's not as fast as Pedro Armstrong, a Dominic Fletcher guy. Like that first at bat, nice. I'm in. I'm really in. He's a bigger dude than I expected. His forearms look absolutely Popeye type. But I'm just, and also people got to remember, it's spring training, but it's also in Mesa. So the Cubs have their whole arsenal of good pitchers. Wicks, who started the game, will probably be in their rotation. You saw Quas in there. He'll probably be in their bullpen. So you saw the White Sox throw out a bunch of guys.
Killian and Horn were both at least either close to Major League Baseball or in AAA.
Exactly. So, it's a little different when, you're not sending Luis, you're not sending Aloy, you're not sending Yoan, so you can't play the type of game that you probably want to play in the future. But when they get home, maybe next game, they can say, okay, this is more what we can play. We can have more access to the better players that we have, and we can play like the Cubs played versus us.
Bailey Horn's not a that's why that name's familiar. He was a White Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, never mind. Yes. My bad. I was like, why does that name sound familiar? He was in that, what trade was that? Was it the Magical trade?
You might be right.
It was Bailey Horn Magical trade, Vinny? Do you remember?
Either that or Tapera. No, those are the only ones,
right? It was Tapera
trade.
Tapera. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
Tempura.
Yeah, but still, Quas was acquired for Nelson Velasquez. Wicks, I know, is a big name for the Sox or for the Cubs. And then, Killian, I think, made it up to the major league team last year. So.
And Dick Lovelady out there, too, looking great.
Hey, and did you see who the White Sox picked up today?
I did not.
Peyton Burdick.
Oh, I did.
Oh, so there you go. So Matt Foster hits the IL. Because that was weird. Because Foster was on the 40-man, was just placed on the 60-day IL today. Has there been an update on what's wrong with Matt Foster?
Well, he had Tommy John surgery last year. He is still recovering from Tommy John surgery. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe the IL exists during the offseason. And so, they're putting guys on that now because they can, right? We heard, what was it last week, that when the Dodgers and the Padres reported ahead of everybody else, they were able to start using the 60-day DL that day. The White Sox and everybody else did when they got to camp. But you don't need to until you need to free up a 40-man spot, right? You don't need to move somebody to the 60-day DL until you have to, or the IL rather, until you have to. So they made a waiver claim today. They needed a 40-man spot, and there's Matt Foster going on the 60-day IL to free up that spot. Nothing has changed with him. He is still on the way back. He has not been throwing at camp. You just see him kind of standing around. So,
but Davis Martin is throwing. I saw him throwing like 83 or 85, I think, was either your tweet or someone else's tweet from down in spring training. He's likely to hit the IL again, right? Because he's recovering?
I don't know. It would have to, okay. I would imagine it would have to be that you would have to then be on the 60-day IL from when you go on it, right? So That's 60 days from when you go on it. Depends on when they think he'll be ready to go.
All right. Just interesting. Just trying to clear that up. All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll talk a little bit about the hitters that made an impact today, everyone's guy, Tim Elko, and a guy that was told not to play fast but now has a sign to tell him to play fast, and then he played fast today. So will he be making an impact in the 2024 team? Herb, you know who might be making an impact in 2024?
Who will be, Sean? Will it be game time?
It will be game time.
Yes. They don't think that you should have to worry when you're buying tickets for your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. If you're like me, I went down to Atlanta, bought some tickets on Game Time, and then wanted to check them out and see if that Game Time guarantee was a real thing. So I went to other secondary markets, and only one had a price that was lower than Game Time's in the same row and section that I was sitting in. Sent this information to Game Time, and within 12 minutes of that correspondence, I got 110% of the difference into my account. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly where you're sitting, and all-in prices show you the total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without the hidden fees. Buy tickets in two taps. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after the game starts. It's the place to be for last-minute seats. And find exclusive flash deals, sponsor deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And like I told you before, the Game Time guarantee means that you'll always get the best price. You'll find tickets in the same section or row for less on another site. Game Time will credit you 110% of that difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code CHGO for $20 off. Game Time. Sorry, download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed.
Thank you very much, Herb. And we also want to let you know about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and they are the easy and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for the playoff home court, there is no shortage of high stakes and basketball moments this time of year. So get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. And it's just as easy as picking 3 players to go more than or less than on their projection, and you can do it in less than 60 seconds. I like James Harden to score more than 16.5 points tonight. I also like anyone who is playing the Washington Wizards, so let's just pick any Thunder that exists. And then also, I think Toronto might upset the Hawks tonight. So, hey, maybe Scotty Barnes over rebounds, because that team really doesn't play defense. And it's that simple. You just made a Prize Pick entry right there. And Prize Pick now offers Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this basketball season. So check out prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's easy. Ooh, it's easy. Oh, it's that easy. I don't know how to read. It's really tough to read. Reading's very difficult. Picking Prize Picks, very easy. All right, let's go into Oscar Colas's hustle. We talked about Oscar yesterday. We kind of talked about maybe Pedro's changed tone about Oscar Colas. How much should we read into Oscar Colas's first 75 games into the major leagues, Vinny? Because obviously we see the play fast today, and the person that I think had the best example, even though I think Kevin Molloy was saying Oscar Colas's at-bats didn't look so good, is Colas hits a dribbler to the shortstop and he beats it out to first base and gets himself a single. Is that what Pedro Grifol is looking for in these guys? Is that type of hustle and effort, even when it might be an easy out when you're down 7 in a spring training game?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, that is a perfect example, and probably the perfect example from the White Sox side of what he wants to see on a very regular basis. Now, that being said, you know, but busting your ass is a good thing, but I don't know if it's going to win you a roster spot, because at the end of the day, like you just said, the White Sox watched Oscar Colas play in the major leagues last year, and they're going to want to make sure that the things that he did or didn't do during that time in 2023 are well behind him. So I don't really think, you know, maybe it sounds a little grandiose. I don't really think he's got a shot at making this team. I mean, realistically, I don't think he does, because they want to see that he improved in these certain areas they wanted him to improve in. Remember, sometimes it's just as easy as the quality of the at-bat, right? As you were just talking about, as our commenter was just talking about there. When Oscar Colas came up to the majors last year, he did not do well with the strike zone. He did not hit very well at all. That's totally, you know, another thing from all the mistakes that we saw made make in the outfield and on the base paths. But every one of those things is what the White Sox want to see get completely cleaned up. I think when you say how much stock should we put in what happened last year, put a lot in there because he's going to be sent to AAA this year. I mean, listen, they didn't do, or I should say they did this year what they didn't do a year ago. Chris Getz did this year what Rick Hahn didn't do a year ago, which was I'm going to go out and get somebody who I can count on, who I can depend on in the event that Oscar Colas is not ready for this. Now, they had already determined that he wasn't ready for this time around because they saw him play in the majors last year and they want to see him play in the minors before they do that again. But last year it was, if Oscar Colas has a good spring, he's the right fielder. And if not, well, Gavin Sheets is there, I guess, and that's fine. And that plan completely fell apart. Now this year, Chris Getz has gone out and said, Dominic Fletcher is going to be the right fielder. And there's a couple other guys, maybe two, that could back him up if that doesn't go right. But Oscar Colas doesn't need to be part of that equation if he doesn't have to be. So right now, it's going to be on Oscar Colas in the minor leagues, forcing the White Sox to bring him back up, forcing the White Sox to say, you deserve playing time by not only hitting well, but doing all of the little things that he failed to do last year. Sean, you made a point, you know, just in an aside right now, saying that they told him not to play fast last year. Let's not get that confused. He was playing in a way that was not smart, and I, you know, in their estimation. And so I think that when you hear the T in fast is what technically sound, right? Oscar Colas did not have that last year. Now maybe he can get it back or get it for the first time, whatever is applicable there. But the way he was playing last year was, you know, for lack of a better term, chicken with his head cut off, right, kind of thing. And it was creating more mistakes. If they're going to play the way that Pedro wants to play, it's going to be mistake-free because they're doing it in a smart way.
Absolutely. But the one thing about the acronym that I guess worries me is just it's a fine line to be aggressive and technically sound. It's very tough to go 100 while also being mistake-free, if that makes sense, right? So, like, I get your point. That's an absolutely fair clarification that, you know, just Colas wasn't really truly out there. So it wasn't even about the tempo or anything that he was playing. So that's a good clarification there. But, I mean, going back to the great acronym.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what you were saying last year, Vinny, and what the White Sox conveyed to you in the Simple Media, like, you don't want to take the aggressiveness out of the player, but because sometimes they're going to be aggressive and that mistake is going to be made because of their aggressiveness. But you're like, I like the aggressiveness, keep that in you, but also, you know, tamp it down just a touch. I want to move to a player where I know many White Sox see the guy and saw what he did in his first full year in the minor leagues last year and say, wow, 28 home runs at Double-A and Single-A. Where is Tim Elko, and does he have a chance to break on this team when they leave Arizona? Because the only reason I would say that he doesn't is because of the inexperience and because he hits from the right side of the plate.
Yeah, well, also, where's he going to play? You know, I mean, that's the thing to me is, like, we talk about there being a ton of competition on this team, and it's true, but maybe not in the spots where you would, you know, go, right? I mean, like, there is no competition at first base. There is no competition in left field or center field. There is no competition at third base. There is no competition at catcher, and there is no competition at designated hitter. Now, What you guys and plenty of White Sox fans have complained about in recent seasons is a complete lack of depth within this organization. You know, when someone gets hurt, who's there to fill in for them? And the answer too frequently has been no one, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're clamoring for a guy to come up, and that should be a good thing maybe that they've got him there in case, right? Like, he should keep hitting that way. And like I just said about Oscar Colas, guys can force their way into playing time if they play it well enough. But I think in the case of Tim Elko, keep doing your thing. You might be a minor leaguer all this year. You might be a minor leaguer longer than that. But Andrew Vaughn might get hurt. Eloy Jimenez might get hurt. And if you're raking at AAA, then there you go. Take your opportunity and seize it. You know what I mean? So, no, I don't think Tim Elko is going to be a part of the opening day roster. But if he keeps doing well and he keeps impressing the people who make the decisions, then he's going to move up the ladder and move up the chain. And when an injury, which is inevitable, not because it's the White Sox, but inevitable because that's how baseball works, happens, you're going to need somebody to step into that spot. And whether that's this, whether that's early this season, whether that's in the middle of the summer, whether it's September call up or whether it's 2025, be ready and be ready to seize that opportunity.
Jordan Wicks is pitching, and Elko did go deep off of him in his first at bat. It was a 3-2 count, and I was listening to the radio broadcast at that time, and there was two straight foul balls on fastballs high up in the zone, and DJ was like, the catcher wants him to throw fastballs high up in the zone because he's late on it. Got another fastball high up in the zone and was a little late on it. Didn't, you know, pull the ball or hit it to deep center, but hit it far enough to right field where it got out. I also think a fan made a great catch there, like diving backwards.
I said that the White Sox new right fielder next year.
And there you go. And then Elko, in his last at bat, I think it was ended up being in the seventh inning, he hit a bomb out to center that was, I think, like maybe 5 feet away from going out. So you might look at the double A numbers and really question if he would be a guy that could be in the major leagues in 2024. But it does seem like most of the time he's able to produce a home run because you look at the at least walk and strikeout numbers in his 34 games in double A. 49 strikeouts, 3 walks. So there's still, and that's at double A. So there's still a lot for Tim Elko to do, I think, to actually be a major league level ready player. And to your point about competition, where does he play, Vinny? Him and Andrew Vaughn are the same age. Andrew Vaughn got drafted top 3 2 years before Tim Elko was even a prospect ready. Like they have more invested into Andrew Vaughn, and there's no reason to rush Andrew Vaughn off that spot unless, you know, someone falls down to injury or something like that. So Elko, fun to watch, but provides depth, like you mentioned. Might not be the guy for them to really write home about. Other guy that I wanted to bring up, and I think that's it on at least spring training, and then we can wrap up on any final weekend thoughts. We also have a new article from Vinny Duber that I'll mention right after this, but not mentioned in Vinny Duber's article by Ethan Katz was Alex Spies. Alex Spies ended up pitching a four-batter inning. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be able to go 1-2-3, but I think the biggest thing, and they mentioned this on the radio, yep, was a lot of strikes from Alex Spies. Consistently, we saw, at least in his major league level and minor league level, that he was consistently walking guys. Saw a lot of strikes from Alex Spies, which is exciting to see. But also, this was one of the first waiver pickups from Brian Bannister since when he was a part of the White Sox organization. And I brought it up before and I shared it in our Discord for our diehards today. The Tread Athletics video where they have Alex Spies throwing a bullpen. And in that video, the pitching coach that's watching him asks him, like, man, you really weren't throwing your fastballs? So apparently the Rangers weren't even really having him throw this 95 up to 100 mile per hour stuff, and it might have been more of an organizational thing that held Alex Spies back. Maybe there's something that Brian Bannister is noticing that I think that truly based on stuff, he could be a Gregory Santos guy, because Santos was the same thing, overlooked by none other than Brian Bannister, not being able to throw strikes and then coming over, throwing strikes and being a guy that they could flip for three other players. If Alex Spies is able to throw strikes, I mean, the movement's nasty. There was times where Maldonado, the veteran of all veterans, is getting crossed up by Alex Spies behind the plate. So it was a really good showing, I think, from Alex Spies today. I know it's the first game and he's faced four batters, so I won't get my role too far ahead of myself. But exciting stuff, because we are looking for guys to make that bullpen, and Spies is on that precipice to possibly make that team.
And I'm glad that Bannister and Kish Getz are doing this for their bullpen, where they signed Brebbia to a little deal, but they didn't go out and sign the $8 million guys or the $15 million guys like Liam Hendricks. Don't get me wrong, I love both of those guys, the Gravemans, Kellys, and Hendricks, but you can't spend all your money, a good portion of your money, on the bullpen. This is the way you should do it. Just get live arms and then put them into your own lab and get that guy on the mound, because he has filthy stuff. You could tell immediately. I was kind of disappointed with him. I think it was a 3-1 count, and he just threw the ball like way off the plate and garnered that walk. But otherwise, yeah, his outing was pretty solid today. I am looking forward to him, and if he is the closer, I'm in. That's exactly what you want, a flame-throwing dude with some filth at the off-speed pitches, too.
Well, and like Groot, too, we saw him work up to it. It wasn't like he was automatically their closer, right? He was, you know, in the sixth inning and then seventh inning and worked his way up to becoming that guy and earning it. Final thought from spring training was the White Sox had 4 hits, 1 walk, 12 strikeouts. You talked about them not getting on base, but that reads like a regular White Sox regular season box score from last year. I think the biggest silver lining, though, Vinny, is Luis Robert Jr., Eloy Jimenez, I guess Andrew Vaughn did play, but Yoan Moncada, some of the true starters on this team were out on the field today.
Yeah, this was only half the starting lineup, but I mean, listen, you don't want to take anything, let alone too much from an exhibition game, right? But I think everybody going into this camp, and when I say everybody, I mean everybody on the outside, really looked at that lineup and said, man, how are they going to score runs? And, you know, the White Sox's hope is that the guys that you just mentioned, that obviously Robert, who had a great year, but the Eloys, the Moncadas, the Benintendis, we didn't see him today either, that those guys are going to turn things around in such a dramatic fashion that the offense will just be better, right? But the guys they went and signed to add to this, Nicky Lopez, who did play today, Paul DeJong, who did play today, Dominic Fletcher, who did play today, you know, Martin Maldonado, who did play today, they're not known for hitting very well. And so when we see a team that last year was one of the least productive offenses in baseball, the work during the offseason was focused elsewhere, and that elsewhere was not on the bats. And then they're like, yeah, hopefully a new hitting coach will come in and fix all these guys. That's a lot of pressure on this team to get dramatically better. And I'm not saying it's impossible, because we have seen the flashes of what Jimenez and Moncada can do. We've seen Andrew Benintendi have nice years in his career as well. Maybe it does come together in a way that makes them much better than they were a year ago, but then that's still just half the lineup. And I think that when you've got a team going out there striking out 12 times, not really doing much to try to get on base with a walk, and then there's no hits either. Well, boy, how many times did we have that conversation after games last summer, right? So I think this is going to be the overarching, I don't want to use the word problem, I guess weakness of this team, maybe as things stand right now, is that offense and how they're going to score runs. Things can change. This is one game. I'm not saying every night is going to look like this one spring training game, but I think it did reinforce a lot of the things that we thought we're kind of dogging this team coming into camp.
When teams don't travel players like the White Sox didn't travel those people you mentioned, what do? Do they just sit back at the old facility and do a workout themselves, or is that just a day off for those guys because they're veterans?
No, it depends on the schedule. I mean, we saw a lot of those guys who did have days off today at the complex this morning coming off the field after a workout. The thing with spring training games is – It's not like the regular season where you show up to work at the stadium and do your work leading into the game. You have your full spring training workout, like we just saw them have for the last week, and then the guys who are playing get on a bus and drive somewhere to play a game. So it's a little weird. It's not the most normal situation if you're used to how things work during the regular season. But I think the main thing was that those guys who weren't playing today don't have to end their practice when the bus leaves, if that makes sense, right? So, Luis Robert Jr., Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, Andrew Benintendi can stick around and lift weights, can stick around and go with the trainer, can stick around and hit more in the cage if that's something that is on their schedule. But they also did that all morning too. So it is not a day off as in they don't have to come to work. They just don't have to go play in the game.
I feel like Benny's going to pop. You know, you can only really pump up a balloon so much. This guy's just sitting there just lifting weights all over and over again. You can read Vinny's latest article at allchgo.com. He talks about Ethan Katz's comments on Dylan Cease, Michael Kopech, and much, much more. Possibly starter Garrett Crochet and the filthy Justin Anderson. So go check out Vinny's article at allchgo.com. Vinny, anything else you want to add on from today in Mesa?
Not particularly. Like I said, you know, the lack of offense, and as you guys were talking about when you were talking about the broadcast, the way the game played out really made it kind of Dullsville, in terms of an entertainment product, if you're a White Sox fan, and if you were a Cubs fan after the first inning, I suppose, too. But, the offense was not impressive, but it's one spring training game, and anybody that gets worried about that should calm down a little bit.
Hey, we'll have 2 days to calm down. I guess Saturday might be a tense day because they're playing again. So we'll share our thoughts on Twitter. Vinny will be at the game, so follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at EchnerWall23. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Again, thank you to Vinny Duber and all of his work out at Spring Training. CHGO Spring Training hotel accommodations are provided by our friends at Gila River Resort and Casino Vekiva. It's the place for Chicago baseball fans to stay when visiting the Phoenix area. So if you are planning to head west to watch Cactus League games or traveling to the desert throughout the year, call 1-800-946-4452 or visit play@gila.com. Thank you very much, Vinny. Thank you, Herb. Thank you, Sarah, for producing the show. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. We'll be back on Monday. Goodbye.
We all silly like the mayor.